I'm going to read from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And the word of the Lord says the following. He went away from there, he being Jesus, he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to him, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. And he can do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching." Amen. You may be seated. First of all, I said it at the beginning of service, and I'll say it again. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here in this place. I hope this morning, as you came a little bit earlier and enjoyed some refreshments, that you felt valued, that you felt the love that we have for you all here. And just praying that the Lord would strengthen you, praying that the Lord would bless you, and as he blesses you, may be a blessing to your families as well. Last time I spoke, we talked about us following Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus, and specifically Jesus' charge to Peter, saying, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, you follow me. And this morning, I wanted to kind of take it a little bit of a step further and say that when we seek Jesus, when Jesus comes and lives in our hearts and we begin to follow him, we can become aware of his presence in our daily lives. Because the Lord is always with us. The Lord is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's here with us right now. The Almighty God lives in you. His presence is in you. He's around you. We just have to be aware of it. But so many times I ask myself when I come here on Sundays, when I come here on Thursdays, when we gather together as a body of Christ, if I've gotten too used to church, too used to worship, too used to prayer, the services, the flow, the songs, the worship, have we gotten, and this is my question to myself that I'm asking first and foremost to myself, but also want to ask you, have we gotten too used to the familiar? Because I read this passage in Mark 6, and the reaction that these people, the very people that Jesus grew up with, I sometimes see myself in that too. You know, there's only two places in Scripture where the Bible says that Jesus marveled. This is one of them. And if you remember, you recall the second time that Jesus marveled at something was in the interaction between Jesus and the centurion. When the centurion came to Jesus and asked for healing for his servant, and he said, "If only you say a word, Jesus, I believe you, and I believe that my servant's healed." And the Bible says that Jesus marveled at his faith and said that there's nobody with greater faith that I see among the Jews, and this centurion was a Gentile. So we see the two things that Jesus marvel at are great faith and no faith. Or rather, I say, he marveled at their familiarity with him that led to not having faith. Will Jesus marvel at us this morning? Does Jesus marvel at me? Can I say that I'm a man of great faith? Or can I say about myself that I'm a man that's a little too familiar with how we do church and how we do the things around here, how we do Christianity? Do we know Jesus? You know, as Christians, we know and we understand the sovereignty of God. We know that God is all-powerful. We know that God can do great things. We know that God can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. He can heal families. He can raise us from dead to life. We know that. We say that. We sang it up here. The kids sang that our God is mighty, our God is powerful, something we say all the time. And I don't need to convince you of that. We already know that. But what's interesting about this passage is that the people in Jesus' hometown, they also knew that Jesus was capable of doing great things, right? If we look at verse 2 in the passage that we read, Mark 6, verse 2, they ask themselves, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? They understood that Jesus was wise. How are such mighty works done with his hands? Interesting that they understood that Jesus was doing mighty things. They admitted that he was doing mighty works. They already knew that. They knew that Jesus was capable. I assume they probably heard about Jesus healing the paralytic. He heard about Jesus healing people in Capernaum. They heard about the great crowds that were following him and the wisdom that Jesus had. They heard about his parables that he was teaching. These are all just, you know, chapters before in Mark 1 through 5. They knew that. They probably heard about Jesus. And yet they failed this test just because they were too familiar with the Jesus that they thought they knew already. So one of my questions for us today is, do you know Jesus? Or do we just know about Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Father? Or do we just know about Jesus? My conviction this morning is something that the Lord has really been stirring in my heart and convicting me of my heart has been that sometimes I get too familiar with how we do church. I get too familiar with standing, with sitting. There's a song here, a song there. The choir is supposed to sing. The fanfare is supposed to sing. The worship team is supposed to sing. This many songs. We go into prayer. Then we know that there's an endem after, and then there's a song. We get so robotic about how we do church sometimes that we sometimes miss the essence and we miss the point and we miss the first love, right? We sit in these pews sometimes and we miss Jesus even though he's standing in front of us, even though he's here, he's present. And that got me thinking, and I'm like, Lord, I just want to repent of all the times that you were here and we missed it. You see, that's my burden as a worship leader. When we get so caught up in things and Jesus is right here, and there's so many distractions sometimes, but church, let's not miss the presence of God. When we come to church, we're coming into the presence of the Almighty God, who can do all these things that we read about. It's not something we should just stroll into like happenstance. It's not because we don't have anything else to do on a Sunday. I can think of so many things I can do on a Sunday, so many other things. But we're coming into the presence of the living God. Church, let's not miss his presence. The Pharisees missed him completely, right? They had the prophecies, they had the word, they had everything. And they're so diligent in reading and knowing, but they missed Jesus and he passed right in front of them. God help us not be that way. We need to be more aware of his presence. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 8. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. Jesus, church, even in the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, the presence of God is there. We just need to be aware of it. And we need to say, God, open up our eyes to see you at work in our lives and in our church. The burden is on us. We can fail to recognize the presence of God, but God himself is never absent. Oftentimes we miss the presence of God because of distractions, because of problems that arise in our lives. Sometimes we miss the Lord because we're so down in our own grief, because there's so many other things in this world that take our attention. It's a very interesting quote by A.W. Tozer that captures this. It's very, very interesting. He says that if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop. And everyone would know the difference. My burden on my heart is, and my desire is, for us to be a church that's so in tune with the presence of the Lord, that can feel the presence of the Lord, that if the Lord is not here, we say, whoa, 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 stop. Let's fast and let's pray. Be so in tune to the presence of God that if a song doesn't, and this is my heart too, if a song doesn't work, whoa, 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 I'm going to stop and we're going to return our eyes to the Lord. Let's be a church that's so intensely focused on Jesus, on the person of Jesus, that we don't miss his presence. There are a few examples in the Bible of people that didn't see the presence of the Lord initially, but eventually saw it. The one of the examples I can think of is Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6. If you recall this story, it's the king of Syria embarked to this place in Israel called, or this place called Dothan, to capture Elisha, because the Syrian king was noticing that Elisha was giving the Israelite king notice of what he was going to do next. He was essentially foiling his battle plans. And Elisha's servant in this passage wakes up and he sees the Syrian army surrounding this city, and he panicked and he said, essentially, we're done. It's over. And Elisha prayed a simple prayer and asked God to open up the servant's eyes. And we all know the story. And encircling the Syrian army were chariots of fire all around. He was made aware of the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the all-living God as protector, as provider in this dark and desolate situation. And even in the midst of a crazy situation, God's presence and protection was already there. My prayer this morning is, God, open up our eyes in this place to see your presence at Emmanuel Church, to see your presence in our families, to see your divine protection when we need it, to see your comfort when we're grieving, to see your presence when we're rejoicing on top of the mountain or in the valley. Another example is Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb. We all know the story again. Mary Magdalene was at the tomb and she was crying and she says, where have you put my master? Where have you put my Lord? He's missing. And Jesus was standing right in front of her. Right in front of her. Sometimes grief can put us in a similar situation where we don't recognize that Jesus is there. But guess what? And maybe I'm speaking to somebody here today. Jesus is right there with you. Another example of this is Jacob. In Genesis chapter 28, we see and we read that Jacob falls asleep in this land. He falls asleep with his head on a rock. And the Lord gives him a dream, and then he sees the ladder going up to heaven, the angels going up and coming down, and the Lord seated at the top. And the Lord makes him a promise at that point, that, you know, all that this land that you're sitting on and that you're there, all of this, you know, based on the promise I made to your forefather Abraham, I'm going to give it to you, and just trust me. This is all going to belong to you and your descendants. And if we read Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, we see, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And that's when he named this place Bethel. Much like the ladder that was going up and down, I believe, church, that here there's an open heaven. And the Lord is listening to our prayers, to our cries, to our worship. He's listening to what you say. He's listening to the cries of your heart. He's listening to your joy, to your sorrow. The veil was torn in two. We have direct access to the Lord. We can speak to him. We can talk to him. He can be there for us. I want us to really say when we come to church, respond like Jacob did and say, surely God is in this place. I may not feel it, but even though I don't feel it, I know that you're working. And even if I don't see it, I know that you're working, because he never stops working. Your presence is all I need, all I want. And without it, there's no meaning. Church, if we don't have the presence of God here, then we're just a country club. We're just some friends coming together to say hi once a week and do stuff together and then go home. But how awesome is this place that we get to be in the presence of God? Because there's no other place than the house of God. Church, I want to motivate you this morning. I want to motivate us to become more aware of the presence of God. And if we don't see it, and if, you know, we pass by it, I want us to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, open up my eyes to see. Open up my eyes to see what you're doing in my church and in my family. Open up my eyes and give me faith to see what you're doing in this place. You see, God is merciful. When he was there in Nazareth, the Bible says that he still healed people. He still healed some sick people that really needed it. So I want to encourage you that if there's one or two of you that are here and that are looking for the Lord and seeking him and asking him for healing, the Lord can heal you and the Lord can be there with you because God is here. But for the rest of us that maybe struggle sometimes, myself included, let's become more aware of the presence and let's try to have Jesus marvel at us, not because of our unbelief, not because of our familiarity, but because of our great faith. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come up here, and we're going to sing one more song this morning. And the song is just, it's just the gospel message. I cast my mind to Calvary where Jesus bled and he died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. And when we get to the chorus and we sing from the bottom of our hearts, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God, oh, praise him forevermore. Let's praise him like he's here in this room right now. P.S., he is in this room right now. So let's praise him. I'm going to invite you all to stand. And let's sing to him. Let's sing, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. O Lord, O Lord, our God. And let's rejoice in this gospel message of the song. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. Jesus, I'm going to pray. Jesus, we come before you, God, and we just thank you, Father, for your presence. God, open our eyes to see, Father, your Holy Spirit at work in this church and in our families, God. God, I speak for myself, but also on behalf of us, God, I pray, God, that you forgive us for the times that you were here, but we missed it because we were so preoccupied with things. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you stir up, Father, a passion for your presence, a passion for holiness, a passion for seeking your face, God, a passion for loving you, Lord Jesus, and returning back to the first love. We thank you, we honor you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.